Yeah, it's Pulse with the sports. You don't need another report. Bleeding green till I D-I-E. Hold it down for the best team. We in first place, we the Celtics. Try to shoot it, we ain't let ya. Finna goin' when it rain. Giving fades like I'm Kyrie. You the opposition, can't score yet. Homie, you ain't even on the floor yet. Big buckets and big shots. Better check the time on the shot clock. Got my shooters on me, they wet you up. It's a 30-footer, I ain't letting up. Scary Terry with the dancing bear. Gonna light it up like it ain't fair. Dunk it on you like Rozier. Fourth quarter, we in fifth gear. I got Tatum, I got Brown. I got Marcus locking you down. Grab a broom, it's a sweep. Score 100 on our feet. Celtics Pulse, we the team. And we don't accept defeat, yeah.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Celtics Pulse, brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. Daily fantasy players, go to Thrive Fantasy website and use the promo code Pulse, and Thrive will match your first deposit. There's also a link available in our Twitter bio, at Celtics underscore Pulse. So, yeah, again, they'll match your first deposit. You know, definitely recommend it. And I'm Derek, and I'm joined by Tim.
What's going on, guys?
All right, we have a very special guest today from Locked On and Rain and Jay's podcast. We have Jim Packard. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking the time. So, yeah, we were going to go ahead and jump right in on, you know, the Celtics are obviously not exactly going into the playoff, you know, the playoffs upcoming, not going on there on a high note right now. They, you know, obviously just got, you know, lost to the Nets, even though they did rest a bunch of players. So I basically want to touch upon the fact that they're going with this strategy that even though we're in a, you know, dead heat with the Pacers, we own the tiebreaker, so we are the fourth seed. But, you know, to be benching, or not benching, to be resting Horford and Kyrie, given, you know, the circumstances of us trying to get that home court for the first round, I thought was interesting. So what do you think is more important, getting the home court or making sure everyone's healthy, or is there a happy medium?
I think it depends on the player. I mean, I think getting Al Horford healthy is of the utmost importance. That guy is just the numbers when he's on the court versus when he's not on the court. It's just the offense basically seems to fall apart when he's not there. He's had a kind of a lingering knee issue for long stretches of the season. You need him to be healthy 1,000%. So, and they've talked about previously trying to get him some rest as well. So I guess would be more okay with them resting Horford. In terms of Kyrie, it's hard to say. Like, he's missed a lot of games this season, which just seems like it's kind of planned rest. And of course you want him out there. But if they're really going to do anything and go far in the playoffs, I think you want Kyrie and Al like playing at their best. So, I don't know. I think the Celtics are like pretty confident that they can beat the Pacers and are less concerned about home court. And so, I don't know. I understand it, kind of resting players more so Al than Kyrie. But if that's what Kyrie wants, if that's what Kyrie's like thinks he needs getting ready for the playoffs, I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world. But then you watch and you have to sit through that game where they get just trounced by the Nets. And it's you like all of those logical things go away. And it's like you just want them to play better basketball.
I definitely have to agree with that. I think almost to a certain point, Al Horford is more crucial to the Celtics than Kyrie. Not in the sense of Kyrie isn't important. He is. He's crucial for you to win games on the road. See that with their, you know, home versus away, with and without Kyrie. But Horford is so important because even if you look at the rebound differential against the Nets, they just got dominated. And without having that presence inside, I mean, he's crucial because he's your best big man. He can pass it. He does everything really well. And last year, you managed to, you know, use his minutes well and give him some rest. And he said it was the best he's felt in the playoffs in a while, and he felt rested. So maybe that's their end game, and they should be able to win without Kyrie, but I think it gets a lot more difficult to win without Horford. So I think his health is almost more important than Kyrie's.
Yeah, I agree with Al. I mean, playoff Al is like should be by now a local legend. He
a
definitely turns
phenomenon.
I know. I mean, he turns into a top 15 player every year, and every year, like, wow, Al Horford's in the final of the Eastern Conference Finals again, or they're making another deep run. I wonder why. I mean, it's
Max Money Al.
It's Al, man. He's a stud, and he definitely turns it on. You know, like a pro in the playoffs. I mean, it is going to be nice to see, you know, this team appears, you know, outside of Horford's knee, which they seem to be resting, you know, when they can with that. But to see this team healthy in the playoffs for the first time in a long time is going to be going to be exciting. So I definitely agree, you know, with giving Al as much leeway and as much rest as he needs. I think with Kyrie, given the, you know, like you said, the time he's missed, plus the, well, the fact that, you know, their record with Kyrie isn't what we thought it would be. So they could use some, you know, some more of him and getting, you know, getting the team to gel even. You think by now at this point in the season that, you know, they would have gelled, but we're still seeing a lot of inconsistencies. So, yeah, I think I agree. I think we all kind of agree here about the importance of Al Horford and how underrated he really is. So with that said there, do you think that, you know, they think that if we have the fifth seed, do you think Indiana would give us any problems at all? Or do you just think it's going to be it won't be as easy, but we should take care of business and, you know, all but punch your ticket to the second round?
I think the Celtics really should be able to win or beat Indiana series in 5 or 6 games. Like, home court really should not matter. But that being said, about this Pacers team, and I think we saw that in the game on Friday night, and we've seen this kind of all year, especially once Oladipo goes down, they just play their asses off. They try exceptionally hard. And so if the Celtics have kind of an attitude of we're supposed to win and they don't come in focused, I would not be surprised for Indiana to steal a game. Now, maybe that's like much easier for Indiana to kind of steal games if the first couple of games are at home and they have home court advantage. But I really think that just this Celtics team with the depth that they have, if they play at all focused and if they play, I'm assuming that Kyrie and Al are going to get around 40 minutes a game. Like, they're just a much more talented team with those guys on the court. We saw it in Friday night. Just, I think Al Horford's numbers, just the Celtics were able to go on these large runs when Horford and Kyrie were on the court, and they started off the game fantastically. I don't think it's going to be that much of an issue. I mean, obviously you'd prefer to have home court, but I just think the Celtics are the better team, and I don't think they are really putting that much like emphasis on it. And clearly, with the way they're kind of resting players, I don't think Indiana should. Even if the Celtics are the fifth seed, I don't think this series should go longer than 6 games.
I agree with that, mainly just because the Celtics, when it comes down to it, have been able to win games on the road when they're healthy. And that's really the crux of the situation, is you need your best players to be healthy. You need Horford to be healthy most of all, and you need to have Kyrie there to help win those tough road games. But the one thing I'm worried about, too, is, you know, this team, at least in terms of the way Indiana is built, reminds me a little bit of the Celtics last year, where it was they're down a star or two and they're not healthy to where they should be, but they have a lot of young, really good players and they play hard. Now, the one thing that I have to say about the Celtics is they don't always play up to what they're supposed to in terms of their level of intensity on defense. And a team like Indy worries me, just because if the Celtics don't come out ready to play, yeah, there could be some problems there. Indy really turned it on, especially after Oladipo. I mean, a lot of people expected them to fall out of the playoff race, or at least fall towards the bottom of the pile, and they've stayed in the thick of it. So it's definitely a team that scares me, especially if you've got guys like Morris and Rozier just not playing up to what they should be.
Yeah, so that's another point, too, here, is the Celtics seem to be sticking with this starting lineup of the two Marcuses. Though, I mean, we've been saying for a while that we think Morris should be subbed out, but I get that. You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't necessarily matter who starts, it's who closes and who gets the minutes and all that. But it's just odd that I find that Brad stuck with that lineup for so long, and that he's apparently going to go into the playoffs, and that's what we're going to go with, considering that Morris has been, you know, pretty much for the past couple months now, been, you know, not shooting like he did to start the season, you know, especially from three-point land. So, I mean, do you think it's too late to really mess with the starting lineup, or do you think everything's always fluid and you can always adapt?
Oh, I expect Brad Stevens to change the lineup. He mentioned that, like, in the last couple of weeks, it's kind of going to be matchup dependent. We saw Baines start on Friday night. I mean, this is Brad Stevens. This is the guy who, when they lost their first two games against the Bulls, like, came out and said he's going to start Gerald Green. Like, I don't think he's afraid to mix things up. And I think with the kind of the two bigs that the Pacers have, actually three bigs, if you're thinking Miles Turner, Thad Young, and then Sabonis off the bench, I think you're going to see a lot of the two big lineups for the Celtics. And I think that means a lot of Baines and Horford. So I think it's going to be matchup dependent, and specifically with the Pacers, I wouldn't be surprised if Baines started every game in that series. And I would hope and expect kind of Morris's minutes to come down in the playoffs, just because everyone, you can see all the numbers online, or just like how poorly Morris is shooting, and there's like his defensive rating when, or the team's defensive rating when he's on the court. Like, Brad has access to those numbers too. Brad probably has access to even better numbers. Like, he knows that Mook is not playing that great. So I'd expect in the playoffs the kind of the starters' minutes to go up, and Morris and Rozier's minutes to come down. And definitely, it's a cliche at this point, but like the bench gets shorter in the playoffs, the rotation gets shorter. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we see Baines in the starting lineup and less Mook.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree that would make sense given the length, you know, that the Pacers have. Great front court, like you mentioned, makes total sense. And also, you mentioned Brad's not Gerald Green. He also starts Semi Ojeleye against Milwaukee towards the end of that series.
Exactly. He's not afraid to throw a curveball in there.
For sure. He's not, and everyone, you know, and it worked out for that series. I mean, that kind of turned the Milwaukee series a little bit. We were having, you know, major issues with Giannis, like everybody. But, you know, we were able to take that in seven. And I think, you know, plugging Semi in there just to, you know, kind of throw a body at Giannis was just brilliant. But, you know, well, it's interesting to see how this goes, you know, with the playoffs. And they have way more talent on this team than they did last year. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what he does with the whole Jalen Marcus. Is Terry still getting 20, 25 minutes a game in the playoffs? I mean, I personally
hope not.
I hope not too, Tim. But I mean, you seem to agree. I mean, but I mean, you need a backup point guard. So I mean, do you start moving Marcus? Do you start structuring Marcus's Smart's minutes with Kyrie? So they're the two main ball handlers, and Terry's just kind of weeded out in the playoffs. I don't know.
I think at this point you have to start considering it. I mean, I've been on, you know, what the hell is wrong with Terry train for a while. I mean, looking even at last night versus the Nets, you have Morris and Rozier combining 5 for 19 from the field. Terry 0 for 2 on threes. The one thing I will say is Morris was 6 for 7 on free throws and 2 for 3 for threes. So maybe you need to give Morris more, you know, room to run inside, try and get to the free throw line. And, you know, give him some occasional threes. But I personally think a lot of the problems is you've got the ball stopping in either Rozier or Morris's hands, and you need the ball to move around for the Celtics offense to be successful. The one thing we talked about before the other day on the pod was you don't see the Celtics often, you know, deferring to the hot hand, which is what happens a lot when you see Kyrie going. You know, it's what they did in that Indy game. You know, you got him the ball for that possession to win the game with that bucket. It's a lot of what you're going to see in the playoffs is get the ball to the guy with the hot hand who's shooting, you know, shooting the hottest that night. So,
and I would totally agree with that, but they don't do that, especially when it comes to Jalen and sometimes Tatum. It's bizarre.
And I wish they would. Maybe that changes for the playoffs. You know, like I think it would be the best idea. Granted, the pairing of Smart and Kyrie works out really, really well. They play off each other a lot, but the bench suffers without Smart being there to kind of, you know, establish martial law.
And Terry taking the step back that he did as well. I mean, you said, what's wrong? You know, I asked myself all the time, what's wrong with Terry? Dude, if you go through his Twitter feed and read his tweets, like, what is wrong with Terry? He tweets the most random shit. I can't. What was one of them? Something about the baby? I don't even, like, did anyone catch that one?
You can't start trying to read into Terry tweets because you make no sense of them. There was a while there he wasn't using the letter C. I mean, it's confusing stuff with Terry. I don't think we're going to see as much of – I think we're going to see more Mook in the postseason than we do with Terry, just because I think Mook provides a little more size that the Celtics want, especially if they maybe get in foul trouble with Baines and Horford. And in terms of Terry, like, Terry's main role is kind of a backup ball handler, like guy to play when Kyrie Irving's not playing. I think we're going to see more minutes from Kyrie Irving. Plus, if Kyrie's on the bench, I think this kind of – emergence of Gordon Hayward is more of a playmaker, more of a ball handler. We certainly saw it in that Nets game. He was a lot more aggressive, scored 19, but it just felt like he was kind of the secondary guy. And I wouldn't be surprised if you need less of Terry to kind of be that secondary facilitator with, and the ball goes to more to Hayward, or if you need a point guard, it goes to Smart. Like, I just think you have your three guards, I guess, traditionally will be Kyrie, Smart, and Jaylen Brown. And then having Hayward as a kind of that backup facilitator just makes – you need Terry less. I think with Mook, you mentioned him getting to the line. I think that's a talent that he's like one of the few Celtics who can actually attack and get to the line. So I think he's going to have more of an opportunity in the playoffs than Rozier. I just think Rozier, he makes a couple mistakes on defense or takes one of his patented really dumb three-pointers. I think Brad yanks him quick.
Yeah, I'd love to see some enforcer Mook, though. I agree with that. Like, getting him inside, man, he's so good in the paint. And he just, like, as you said, he's one of those guys that is few and far between in Boston that can just consistently get to the free throw line. And he's just a rugged defender. So he, at least in terms of comparing him versus Terry, he serves a purpose in being able to be a smaller big in the lineup and just play some really tough defense when it comes down to it. So, and I love the fact that Hayward's starting to play great now. And I'm hoping with Jaylen, you know, he didn't have a great game last night, but he's overall starting to turn it on a lot. So I'm hoping we can work him back into the starting lineup just because he's been playing so consistently for a while now. It's about time we started to give him more minutes.
Yeah, it's just so late in the season to, like, work someone into the starting line. I mean, I love Jaylen too, and I've been, you know, I've been going back and forth on who to start and who not. That's a tough, you know, Brad is smarter than me, so I'll trust him. But with that being said, man, yeah, Morris is definitely way more value than Terry. I think we all agree on that. Terry has really, really might have played himself out of town, even if, like, they thought about bringing him back in the
worst case.
Even if Kyrie leaves, I don't even think. I think they're, like, going to be all set because someone might overpay him more than likely. I'm guessing, you know, plenty of teams out there that need a point guard that usually can get buckets but is wildly inconsistent and his shot selection isn't great. But, you know, Morris is known for his bad three as well every now and then. He's right up there, too. I know you mentioned you love him in the paint, but he falls in love with the three as well. And
Yeah,
but he can't hit them. That's the thing, though. It's kind of a give and take there. He kind of reminds me of, Smart last year, where it was like you can tell he can hit them, but you cringe every time he shoots it. So
yeah, the Mook threes that are the worst are like 20 seconds left in the shot clock. Like, I'm fine with Mook taking, if he open threes, I'm fine with pretty much like anyone on the team taking, just because that's kind of the way that the NBA is. But yeah, if you can't be forcing him up there, and Mook's definitely guilty of catching the first pass of the possession and immediately going up with it. But at the end of the day, he's like, at one point this year, he's like a 50% three-point shooter. And I think steadily come down to around 38 now. But that's still a good clip from three. You're going to need him to be you're going to need basically everyone on the team to be kind of a solid three-point shooter. I just think that the game, the Celtics offense is going to completely change, and it's going to be much more Kyrie, Al Horford pick and roll centric. And right now it's like a lot of like read and react kind of offense where it's basically, you're right, they don't go to the hot hand. It's basically like constant motion, just everyone read and see what they're supposed to do. I think the playoffs is going to slow down a lot, and you're going to see the guys like Morris and Tatum and Jaylen Brown really turn into space the floor guys who stay on the perimeter, catch and shoot or catch and attack. And there's going to be a lot less motion just because it's pretty hard to stop Kyrie and Al pick and roll. And I think it's just much more reliable offense than kind of what they're running than generally.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm not as much worried about their offense. Their offense is very, very good. Their defense is just not what we're used to seeing under Brad. It's been at times horrible. So, I mean, other than Smart, I don't know if – and when Al is healthy, obviously he's an elite defender too. I mean, on paper, they've got guys that are great defenders. Smart, Horford, Morris is a very good defender. Jaylen's a good defender. Tatum's a good defender. Kyrie has been, he's been enough. He's been good enough. So it's just bizarre to me that the defensive numbers have been so bad this regular season. But again, if you're going to quote unquote flip the switch, then, a team like Indiana is a good team to do it on. They're not a great offensive team. They're a defensive team. So, it'd be nice to see them be able to hold their points a few times and really show the defense that kind of was the trademark of Brad Stevens.
Yeah, that's the reason why I think Baines is going to come back, because that their defensive lineup that was like the best last year was when Baines and Horford and then I think Kyrie, Tatum, and Brown. But like, I think that the defense that Baines provides, the size, the rim protection, the toughness, I think that's why he's kind of a much more of a major piece than most people think he is. Just and I think a lot of the Celtics' struggle this year is it's kind of coincided with Baines being hurt. He's had a number of different issues with the broken foot and other injuries, but I think he's actually way more important to this team, especially down that defensive end, than most people realize.
Hey, Celtics Pulse listeners. We are now available on PodCoin, a new app where you can earn rewards for listening to your favorite podcast. A quick shout out to all our new fans that found us with PodCoin and the rest of our fans around the world. It's available in all major app stores. And again, you can get free gift cards for listening to your favorite pods. Yeah, so we seem to all agree, regardless if they're 4 or 5 seed, that Indiana won't be... I mean, they'll be a test for sure, especially because they, on paper, I think they have the best defense in the league. They average, what, they give up like 104 a game, whereas the Celtics are at like, I don't know, 110 or something like that, I think the last they saw. But that being said, I mean, after Indiana, looks like you're going to have Milwaukee more than likely, unless some 8-seed miracle.
Hey, so Orlando Magic are the hot team in the league right now.
I know. They got length for days, too. Young length. Their record against the Celtics is speaks for itself, man. They have issues with Gordon, and yeah, it's unbelievable, man. And then, do you think? No, you don't really think Orlando has
No. I'm sorry to get off track there.
I'm hoping Orlando makes the playoffs. That'd be a great. They deserve it. You know, for the years of. Interesting draft strategy of just selecting everybody that's uber athletic and, you know, over 6'10". But, you know, with that being said here, in the second round, it looks like Celtics will have Milwaukee. I mean, you think that – yeah, I mean, that's – now you're talking about, on you know, the best team in the East, MVP candidate. They got the home court. Do you think the Celtics could overcome that, or do you think we – you know, if you were a betting man, do you think that, or do you think that would be the end of the line, and that would be obviously a major disappointment?
If I was a betting man, I'd probably pick the Bucks. But with that being said, I think the Celtics—they certainly have a chance.
Yeah,
definitely. They got a good chance. I mean, like Al Horford, I think you put him at the five. Like that's one of the things that the Celtics, I think, is have a pretty good advantage upon, is because the first round. They have a number of big, like the Pacers have a bunch of bigs. They can start Aaron Baines, but then you get to that Bucks series. You're just not going to start Aaron Baines because then Brook Lopez can kind of go wild and stretch the floor. And then you put Al Horford on the court. You put him at the five, and I think he basically makes Brook Lopez. They would just attack him on every single pick and roll and makes them a lot less dangerous on offense. And so then you're going to kind of have to the Bucks would have to counter by putting. Giannis at the five and kind of have less shooters out there. I think it just changes the dynamic. And so I think the Celtics' ability to kind of, with their depth, to switch up and create different matchups and kind of make those crazy changes like we were talking about earlier with Brad going to Shemmy, I think like that's where the kind of the advantage the Celtics have is because they can do so many different things. So I'd give them a chance. I mean, the Bucks have clearly gotten a lot better. I think a big thing will actually be if Malcolm Brogdon is back. He seems to be a Celtics killer and a pretty dynamic player there for the Bucks. I don't know. I think it'd be a close series, and the Bucks would probably be favored. But I definitely wouldn't count the Celtics out. They definitely have a chance just when they have Kyrie and Al.
Yeah, there's actually an update today. Brogdon is off crutches and out of walking boot. So.
Oh, that's too bad. You never want to wish harm on a guy, but yeah, I was hoping he'd be out for a little longer.
You still never know what's going to happen with that.
I know, and Mirotić is right on, you know, his timeline is right about the second round, too, so it's like, oh, boy.
Well, it's just a question of whether or not those guys will actually be healthy. And also, too, like, what's going on with Pau Gasol? They went out and got him off the scrap heap, and now he's hurt, too. So health can be a factor here if these guys aren't ready for the second round and or if Mirotić is going to be able to, you know, go 100%. And also it depends on how that first round matchup's going to go.
Yeah, I think Gasol might be done in general. I mean, he's a big name. What's that?
He should hang it up, I think.
Yeah, he's a big name, and he had a great career. I just think he's done. But you know, maybe I'm just saying that in hopes that he doesn't turn into, Lakers Pau Gasol.
Yeah, just getting flashbacks of the 2010 finals, him grabbing every freaking rebound.
So many free throws.
Him and Ron Artest bailing out Kobe's Game 7, yes?
Yes. Exactly.
That was the worst. That was what I meant. Yeah, I remember that vividly. But yeah. So and if you get by the Bucks, obviously you gotta see what happens as the Philly Toronto matchup might be that's gonna be awesome. I'm really looking forward to that. I don't know if there's I'm hoping that's the matchups. I mean the NBA playoffs are really lining up where there could be some really good second round matchups if all goes as everyone expects. I mean Raptors, Sixers, and then you got Celtics, Bucks.
I think the Twitter universe would just implode if it was Celtics versus 76ers.
I would love to see that. I know the Ben Simmons chance would never stop, but that would be ideal. The Sixers fans are very very passionate, very vocal on Twitter. They're like that kid brother that just keeps like fucking poking at us, like they want to be on Boston's level, and they just so let's I love it. I love the spunk, I love the shit talk, like how they get mad and block me. I love it. I love all of it. So I'm with
it's you. Way
I'm
better with... Have you ever met a Bucks fan on Twitter? Like they don't exist.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Ah man, I mean I can think of the one because he cracks me up with his Tony Snell post. Tony Snell guy. Start like Tony Snell. I'm with it. But yeah, dude, I Bucks fans are few and far between. The Tony Snell account's the only one I can think of. I mean, there's some Giannis fans, though. See, that's the thing about kids today, too, though. They root for players. They don't necessarily root for fucking teams. It's so weird to me to, like, even have that type of... Like, we all have, you know, favorite players growing up, but, like, we were Celtics fans. We, you know, that this is our team. They don't have that, it seems, these days. So I'm sure Giannis will have, you know, plenty of people rooting for him. Plus, everyone hates Boston, so... Yeah, we're gonna be. We're not gonna be the fit. You know, the ones that all the haters and you know novice NBA fans will be rooting for. They'll all be rooting for Giannis and Milwaukee.
It's like LeBron started that era. It's like hashtag thanks LeBron.
Yeah, live, love, laugh. Right, guys? Did you see that?
Oh man, what an old wine, mom. That's just like
holy shit. It's like I walk goods and saw a fucking. See those signs are live hysterical, but that's LeBron, man. He's like getting old. He drinks wine, and he's like, I don't care anymore. My team couldn't stay healthy and wasn't that good anyways. And
I love that in that post, he's like, I'm not washed up anymore, and then he immediately shut it down.
Season. I know, the like, next day. The next day, he's like, yeah, I'm good. You know, he's the only guy. I think he read that he's probably the only guy averaging 27-8-8 in the NBA, and he was like, yeah, I'll just stop there. That's good. No one else is doing it. I'll walk away right there. Plus, they need him next year. I mean, the Lakers, huge offseason for them. I actually enjoy it more when the Lakers are good. I know that's kind of anti-Celtics, but, like, if the Lakers are just going to suck forever, I mean, there's no rivalry. That's not fun. Same with Philly. Like, when Philly got good, I got, like, excited. Like, good. We can get back to, you know, battling and the shit talk and everything else that comes with it.
And so before we go ahead and wrap it up, we know that the big storyline currently, beyond just ramping up for the playoffs, we had that news about Kristaps Porzingis with everything going on with the allegations, apparently from about a year ago, just following his ACL injury, getting into an altercation, and now is being accused of rape. Guys, what are your thoughts? I know it's a big, serious topic. We don't need to go too in-depth, but... I feel like it needs to be addressed a little.
Yeah, no, it's wild. It's kind of different stories coming out now. I think like I don't want to delve into like specific allegations just because we have no idea what actually happened. I think like from the basketball perspective is like clearly there was some knowledge of this within the Knicks organization, and it's like how much did they tell the Mavericks about this? Before the trade, and like the Mavericks are saying different things than what the Knicks said, and it's kind of like how do you potentially deal with this situation? Even if you are the Mavericks and you like knew about the full allegations, they have their own kind of like things to deal with their allegations of sexual harassment and that thing. But I'm assuming that like if they did know, they would talk to Kristaps, and Kristaps would say it's not true, and then. Like, do you still trade for the player, trusting him entirely? Like, it's not like something you can wait for the legal stuff to kind of play out. So it's just a difficult situation, and one I've never can't remember it ever happening in the NBA. It's a wild story for someone to, for this to happen. I just don't know, because like it's really a question of like how much, who knew what and when in terms of the trade. And that's not, I don't want to like belittle the actual seriousness of the situation. That's just like the NBA perspective on it.
No, definitely. I mean, you know, the trade is what makes it so unique, because, you know, a lot of people have made the Kobe comparison, and obviously he, you know, she ended up dropping the charges. They settled, whatever happened. Again, we, you know, we all got to speculate, but no one knows at the end of the day. You know, they were, you got to see how it plays out. You know, I will say if he did what's being reported, he needs to go to jail for a very long time. If he didn't do what's being reported, then I hope that, you know, the girl, you know, has some repercussions, because this is pretty serious stuff, obviously, you know. And I mean, so again, that's all I can say, because who knows what. I am very curious, though, if now we've got a Dolan and Cuban beef over what was told and what wasn't, because, you know, as you mentioned, you know, was Cuban misled? Was this a and this might explain the Knicks. It kind of seemed like it happened so fast that
Porzingis. It was a small deal too. In hindsight, you know, it wasn't.
Yes, what was it? Smith and first rounder, and was that it?
Might have been a second rounder, but that's it. It's a small offer. Either way, I mean, it's
not like Smith, but yeah,
it's not a good look for the Knicks either, and for the Mavs to come out and say, oh, we only got this amount of information, after they went, you know, through all of those investigations and fines about sexual harassment in their own organization, to go out and get a guy like this. I mean, if they knew anything about it, they knew legitimately what was going on. That is not a good look, especially for an org that was already dealing with that problem.
Yeah, that's true. As you kind of just alluded to there, yeah, the Mavs front office had issues, you know, in the past where they had to fire and pay out a bunch of, you know, settlements because of sexual harassment. You know, even Dirk even commented on it, like, you know, it's so, you know, to hear that about the team that, you know, that I've given my life to, it's really disappointing, et cetera. So, yeah, the Mavs especially are really like, oh, man. But, yeah.
At the end of the day, we'll just see how it shakes out.
Absolutely. I mean, we'll all keep our eyes on. The story's just going to get bigger. He hasn't been charged yet either. So,
no.
We'll see if that happens as well. But definitely a... yeah, another thing to throw in the offseason, the NBA offseason, is going to be
very dramatic.
I know. It's going to be crazy.
Always is.
Always is, for sure. All right, Jim. Well, thank you again for coming on here. Do you have anything to plug before we finish off here?
Just Locked On Celtics podcast. If you're interested, daily Celtics podcast. If you like the random goofy shit that I say, come on down, listen, subscribe, and thanks for having me on, guys.
No, yeah, thank you for coming on, brother. You have a good one.
You too.
All right, guys. Well, you know, thanks again for tuning in, and we'll be back. Be back in a couple days. Keep an eye out on iTunes. And again, follow us. Absolutely, follow us at Celtics_Pulse. All right, everyone. Take care.
Cheers.